today here to be able to talk and discuss with you about such a wonderful subject such as faith. Come with me please to introduce this subject to Hebrews, the New Testament, even though we're going to be looking at Abraham in the Old Testament, but we want to start by looking at the promise that's there for us if we have faith. So Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's talking about God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And that word believe is the same as having faith. If you believe in something, you will have faith in something. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must have faith that he is. So that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if we want to be people who please God and thereby obtain eternal salvation from him, we have to have faith. We have to believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, to those who look for him and try to find him. And I think the New Testament does a very good job, doesn't it, of telling us what our faith should be in and how salvation may be obtained. But sometimes we find, I think, that the New Testament is full of concepts and ideas and things that we should do and things that we should avoid. And maybe really rather we would have, as well as that, a really good story, a really good example which teaches us the same things that the New Testament does. And that's why we're going to Abraham. Because Abraham, in chapter 22 in particular, is given to us as the example of faith. And so, if you come with me, please, to Genesis 22. It says, it came to pass after these things, and these things were the point in time where Abraham went into the land of the Philistines. And you may remember that he told a half-truth about his wife Sarah, saying that she was his sister. Well, she was his half-sister, but she was, of course, his wife. And after these things, it says, God tested Abraham. And I think in the Authorized Version it says tempted. And we might think, well, why did God do this? Surely God doesn't tempt anyone. Well, I think this is explained in Psalm chapter 26. When David asks God to do this very thing. Vindicate me, O Lord. This is Psalm 26. A psalm of David. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord, I shall not slip. And these could have been the words of Abraham as he came back from the land of the Philistines. I have trusted, or in other words, had faith in. I have trusted in the Lord, I shall not slip. And David then says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me, or test me, or tempt me. It's the same Hebrew word translated here. Prove me, or try me. Try my mind and my heart. So this is what God was going to do with Abraham, and this is what David asked God to do with him. I have trusted in the Lord, or had faith in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my heart and my mind. God wanted to try Abraham's heart and his mind to see whether Abraham really had faith, whether he really trusted in God, because we know that it's impossible to please God unless we have faith and we believe in him. Now, what was the second part of that passage in Hebrews? It's the bit that we kind of forget. That he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, God had said to Abraham, in your son Isaac, all the nations of the world will be blessed. That was going to be Abraham's reward. So God had said something to him, and now suddenly he was going to take that thing away. Because he says in verse 2, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. So God's saying, it's very clear, isn't it? He's saying, here's your reward. I want you to diligently seek me and have faith in me that I'm going to give you this reward. This reward that your son will turn into a great nation. And then he tests him. How does he test him? By saying, I'm now going to take this reward away. And I want you to be the one that takes it. And he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains. Now, put yourself in that position, if you can, if you don't find it too upsetting. It is difficult to put yourself in Abraham's shoes at this point, to think about losing a child, losing your son. And God is forcing you, isn't he, to choose. Do I believe God that he is able to give me this thing? Or do I pull back from God and think, well, actually, he's not going to give me this, is he? He's not going to give me this reward. And so Abraham is forced to come to some conclusions. And the New Testament tells us what those conclusions are. And we're going to find those out in a minute. But first of all, note this, verse 3. Abraham rose early in the morning and ran away. And got on a boat, didn't he? Like Jonah. Well, of course, no, he didn't, did he? Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. And the first opportunity he had to draw near to God, believing that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, Abraham went and did it. First thing, to be obedient to God. And so here we have the wonderful and perfect example of how we can please God. And even if we were to read none of the New Testament, but put this into practice in our lives, I'm sure God would be pleased with us. That when God tells us to do something, we do it. First thing. Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And this is part of Abram's nature, isn't it? Because when God said, leave your family and come out of Ur of the Chaldeans and go to a place of which I shall tell you, he did it. And here he is again, years later, still with the same heart and the same mind. And on the third day, Abram lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abram said to his young men, stay here. I don't think he wanted them to be there, because they would have leapt forward and grabbed his hand and stopped him doing this thing that God had asked him to do. So he prepared the wood and the fire, and he took the men with him so that nothing would stop him on the way. And then he reasoned that these men who might with the right motives, tried to stop him doing what he needed to do, he left them. And so God is totally and completely willing to do God's will. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. And here we have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ walking willingly with his Father to the cross to give his life. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And it's a picture of the Lord Jesus in his youth, as he's reading the word of God and starting to discover that it will be required from him to give up his own life. And the question we all have, brothers and sisters and friends, is as we read the word of God, and as it starts to require of us some things which we know are going to be difficult, do we do that? And do we do this? Or do we, after maybe we've done that, and put it away, pick it up again, and try to draw near to God and learn what it is he wants of us? So this wasn't only difficult for Abraham, it was difficult for Isaac. And it will be difficult for us, and it was difficult for the Lord Jesus. But if we persevere, it's pleasing to God. Verse 8, Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. And that's a wonderful verse maybe to circle in our Bibles. God will provide, and the two of them went together. God will provide for us wherever we're going, if we're trying to go in the right way, and we will go together with him. And verse 10, Abram stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And verse 15, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So come with me back to Hebrews and the New Testament commentary on this. It was after Abraham believed in the Lord, did what he was asked, that God became a rewarder of Abraham, because he renewed those promises and added some more even to it. And it's in the context of this verse about faith that we're introduced to Abraham. Verse 8 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. That was when he was called out of Ur, and he went to the promised land. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country. Sorry, I've read that. verse 10. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is of God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So there are more than one instances in Abram and Sarah's life that we could go to. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And that's the reward that Abraham was given because he had faith. Now, there are other places in the New Testament that tackle Abraham and his faith. Come with me to Romans, please. And chapter 4. And there's a wonderful, incredible promise to us all if we have faith like Abraham. Romans chapter 4. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified, that means made righteous, if Abraham was made righteous by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. It's saying Abraham wasn't made righteous because of the good things that he did. He wasn't made righteous by being righteous, is what it's saying. And we should open our ears now, shouldn't we? Because we're not going to be made righteous by the things we're doing, surely. Since we fail every day. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham was accounted righteous by God. It's as if it was an accounting trick. Because he believed God. Verse 13, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abram or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. It was, as we read, because he had faith in God and did what he asked, that God gave him that promise, that reward. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. If we have faith, like Abraham, in the same way that he did in that example, we are the children of Abraham and heirs of that same promise. As it is written, verse 17, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And so, Abraham reasoned, didn't he? If God has promised me these promises, and now he's asked me to take it away, then God must be able to raise Isaac from the dead. And that's what it means here. He believed God, verse 17, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, and there he is, Abraham walking off, prepared to lose his own son, contrary to hope, in hope believed. And we can see the cogs turning in Abraham's mind. And he's starting to think, well, if he's promised me this son, and he's promised me a great nation through this son, then he must have to live. But God's asking me to take him and sacrifice him. Therefore, God must be able to raise the dead. He believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. And it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. And so righteousness can be accounted to us, it can be given to us, if we believe like Abraham did. And for us, the thing that we must believe on is that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Can we be pleased to finish in Galatians chapter 3? Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. Therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And that's the wonderful promise that we have. Verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Verse 14, the blessing of Abraham will come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we have a wonderful example, don't we, of faith. Abraham, who throughout his life believed that the Lord God exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let's try and manifest that same mindset and that same heart in our own lives.
Thanks then to Robin for reminding us of the importance of faith through the example of Abraham. On Wednesday at Bible class, I think we have Brother John Sage from Rugby, and his talk will be continuing the series of Romans, Abraham, Justification by Faith. Somewhat of a continuation. Sunday next week, visiting speaker for the day is Jamie Palmer from Llanelli. And his Sunday morning lecture title is Where Will You Be When Jesus Returns? If you could be back in your seats by 11, please, for 11:15 start to the breaking of bread, we'll stand there for prayer. Almighty Lord God, we come to you again at the end of this short time together to thank you for the example of Abraham. We thank you for the record of him in your word, the Bible, that we have in our own language that we are able to understand. We thank you for your son who was pointed to by Abraham in his faith. Help us to take the things that we have learnt this morning as an example for us, to help us to try and walk right before you and try and lead us to your kingdom and your son's return. Please bless the refreshments that we'll share now and help us to gain strength from them, and be with us in all that we do, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you.